like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Pridecast with Jonathan Bennett
and James Vaughn
on iHeartRadio. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Pridecast. I'm your host, Jonathan Bennett, joined by my handsome, hot, hunky, and happy I married him husband, James Vaughn.
Baby, you love
I love doing this an opening.
You get
I
so
love
excited
it.
To count yourself in.
I like to count myself in. And we're also joined with Raymond. Raymond, keeping it held down out in the field for us. Raymond.
Hey, Ray.
Ray, what's going
Hi, guys.
On?
Not much. I'm getting ready to head out of town for I'm opening for a friend on a comedy tour.
Wait,
I'm
what?
Stand up. I know.
Wait, you do stand up? Give us one part of your set. Just give us it right now. Come on.
Okay. So I love to talk about where I like spend my day. And one of my favorite places to go is Whole Foods because it's super easy to steal from. You know what I mean? And if you're going to steal from the rich and give to the poor, might as well steal from Jeff Bezos and give to me.
Not wrong.
We here at Pridecast do not condone any type of
we
theft.
We don't condone stealing, but hilarious.
Stand-up
that
moment,
is good.
Right?
Yeah. So,
you know, it's all exaggerated. Obviously,
it's okay to have exaggeration in
how
comedy.
How do we not know that you did stand-up? Of course you do stand-up. You're one of the funniest people we know. I'm so excited about this. Well, where is this happening? Let's plug you. I mean, we got the queers here. Let's tell them.
I don't want to tell too many people because I'm terrified. It's in Florida. We're doing a test in Florida.
It's okay. It's okay. We still love you. We support you.
Just make sure you say gay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Raymond is holding it down as our Gen Z leaning producer in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And guess where we held it down all weekend long last weekend? Guess where we held it down?
Who's supposed to guess? Because we...
I'll just tell you. It was Palm Springs Pride, and we crushed it. We had a giant booth and a party for our outbounders for outbound travel, and it was just so much fun.
Well, we did a Wigs and Wine theme at the house because, you know, we talked about this on the podcast last week about how Wigs and Wine is a really popular night on our ship. So we did Wigs and Wine at the house. And it's really special when you invite 52 people and 52 people show up. That feels really special. And that feels really like, you know, we're doing something right and making this safe space for our LGBTQ plus folks. And I like it. And that's what Pride's all about. And that's what makes Palm Springs Pride in particular so special, because it really is a pride where it feels like every single person there is rooting for every single person there.
Yeah, Palm Springs really Pride special. Is special that way.
And it's just, it's an energy of, there's a lot of people who have lived it and have a lot of knowledge. There's a lot of people who are here that are open to receiving that knowledge. And it's just a really special weekend. So much going on. The festival was absolutely on and popping all day and all night. And it was just really, really nice to get to do that. I also had this amazing crab melt, which has nothing to do with Pride. But if you need to know where to get the world's best crab melt, I will let you know. It is at Palm Springs Pride. So come back next year. Make sure you grab one.
I didn't
get
a crab melt. Where'd you get it?
Well, because I was walking... when I was walking back from, you were on stage and you had just done
on stage doing Nissan.
You had just done Nissan trivia. Yeah. And I was walking back with Kelly, Mm-hmm. And you had to go to something else.
Oh, I can tell you what I had to do. I had to use the restroom.
Okay. So you had to go to the bathroom.
Wait, and I had to get a crab melt. Wait, can I tell that story?
Sure, baby.
Okay. Let me tell you about this story.
Buckle up.
Okay. Buckle up, everybody. So we're doing this big activation. I'm doing all this stuff. And we had to get up at 6 a.m. and be there with a truck loaded by like 6:45.
Because we were setting up our
outbound booth where people could come and meet us. And as we're setting it up, I'm chugging iced coffee, like chugging it like it's water because I'm exhausted from the party the night before and we have all this work to do. And so as soon as we get it set up, people start showing up and wanting to know about our trips. So I'm telling them about our trips and I'm going on and we're doing everything. And it gets to be like noon and I'm exhausted again. So I chug another coffee. And then around 2 o'clock hits and the coffee hits. When the coffee hits, the coffee hits.
Oh, it was that. Oh, baby, should you be telling the story?
Because I think people will relate to it. Have you ever had that moment where you're like, oh no, this has to happen. And then it can't. And so then you go the rest of your day just miserable.
I don't know that I have, baby. Please tell us more about it.
But here's the point of the story. Okay.
A special Pridecast you've done.
This is a special Pridecast because here's the point of the story. There's nothing better than after I have to go on stage and do this big activation and we're done and it's over. And I'm like, okay, there's the hotel right here. I can run in and try to use the bathroom. So I run in and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Pride. It's going to be the worst bathroom in the world. Like there's no way this is going to be able to happen because everyone's here and people are just millions of people walking around. It's just too much. So I go to the hotel manager and I'm like, could I please use your restroom, sir? Please. And he's like, yeah. So he goes and he puts the code and opens up the door. And when he opens up the door, the person that the cleaning person is just walking out of the bathroom and is like, oh, I just cleaned it. Go on in. And it reeked of bleach. And I was like, yes, yes. Talk about timing. You know, it's all about timing.
This whole story.
Is that not a whole good story? I thought it was a good story.
To the thrill you experience.
Yes, it's the little things when you have, yes, when you have a Pride and you're at Pride and you walk into a bathroom and it has just been cleaned.
So much
to get there.
While I was having my crab melt.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't even know that.
I know. Speaking of crab melts. All right. We have a great show, James. We have the one and only Shangela on our show today. And I'm very excited about this. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Hi there. I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people. In an unscripted, unvarnished way, is getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine, and I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
I don't understand what the big fat ones are. You don't put those inside of you, do you? I mean, you do?
Yes. This is a show about women.
Okay, so I just reapply my lip gloss after eating a delicious lunch. We are headed back now to European political systems class at Baruch College. Woo!
Finally, a show about women that isn't just a thinly veiled aspirational nightmare. That's it. That's actually the name of the show. It's not hosted, not narrated. We're just dropping into a woman's world. It's like reality TV on the radio.
I found out when my dad was gay when I was 10. We were in a convertible on the 405 freeway, listening to the B-52s. And looking back, I should have said, this is gay. This is already all gay.
Listen to Finally a Show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check the back seat. Check the back seat.
All right, come here.
Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right?
good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the backseat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Pridecast, the one and only, I want to say icon, I want to say legend, I want to say
star,
I want to say
everything.
Dancing with the Stars semi-finalist, Shangela joins us.
Shangela, hey, welcome to Pridecast, baby.
I am so thrilled to finally be here to chat with you both. You know, I have so much love for both of you, so, you know, let's get into it, baby, hallelujah.
I mean, perfect 10 on the Halloween dance. How does it feel when you're on Dancing with the Stars and you get a perfect score? Because I think the most I got was like all fives.
Thank you, right?
So this is just me being vicariously through you. Like, what's it like?
Well, I will tell you, I'm sure that you earned all those fives though. Whatever you got to, baby, it is hard work. And so it feels incredibly validating to receive those scores from the judges. It feels like you're being seen and recognized for all the hard work. And you know, it's hard work that we're putting into it. But it also feels like crazy exciting and mind-blowing because it's just been such a roller coaster ride over here. You never know. Sometimes you can come up, finish your dance, be like, baby, I know I slayed that. Tens across the board. And they're like, seven. Eight or whatever, you're like, huh, okay. You know, so it's just really interesting to get those scores, but I'm just grateful that people continue to vote at home. So it was, you know, on that night, we wanted to deliver something that people at home, you know, to make them feel like, you know, I'm cheering for this and it's worth it. She's getting better. And hey, we're getting better.
We're getting better. Oh my gosh. And do you remember the first dance you did? Because there was a moment everyone asks when I talk about Dancing with the Stars in my experience. Well, I don't usually talk about it or watch it that much anymore because it's a very triggering show now. Because when you get voted off so early and did so bad, you're like, maybe I don't want to watch it
now,
so
wait
much.
A minute. Now, Jonathan, babe, you know, I've been also voted off of certain reality shows very early on as well. Season 2 Drag Race.
Drag Race. I got you beat. I was the first one off of Celebrity Big Brother. You're welcome. So you know, when you're like, whatever I do, don't be the first to go home. Well, I was the first to go home. So hallelujah. But there's that moment backstage when the click track goes on for the first time on your first show and you hear that tick, 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 tick. Did that feel so intense the first time? Because that was the most intense moment for me.
It feels so intense every time.
Yes.
Like every time, because those four clicks basically are your warning that you're about to be thrown overboard. And
yep,
without
that's exactly it.
Possibly, you know, it feels like.
Yep. That.
And
yep.
I asked Daniela, one of the pro dancers, the other day, because she was doing, you know, the girls were all lined up with me doing the Spice Girls opening.
Yes.
And so I had Cheryl and Alexis and Katarina and Daniela. And I looked at Daniela and I said, do you still get, like, is it weird that I'm still getting crazy nervous before every performance? I mean, we're 8 weeks in. And she's like, honey, it's okay. I still get nervous before my performances too. I'm like, okay, just making sure it's not just me.
No, but also how weird is it to, like, first of all, I don't believe that all of them get nervous because when you watch the rehearsals, like you'll learn all of your show, like your shows and dances you have to do for that episode. And they'll learn those as well. And then they'll learn 95 other things that they have to add on for all the group stuff and the troop stuff. And I'm like, how do you memorize all that stuff so quickly? And they like do it two times and they're like, yeah, we got it.
Yeah.
I'm like that. It doesn't compute in my head.
That's why they're pros.
Uh-huh. There you go.
Wait, Shangela. So you get nervous for this every time. Was it the same when you were on Drag Race, or did you get to a point on Drag Race where you were like, you know what? I'm good. I'm hitting this runway. I'm doing this challenge. I'm fine. Or was it always nerves there too?
Maybe I'm just a nervous person at times. Because I, you know, and my friends have always told me it's because you care. And I do. Even when I do shows, and I've done, you know, me, I've, in 2018 alone, I did 100 in 81 cities across the world, performances. And I would get nervous even doing those. It's the same show, different city a lot of times, but it's because I want everything to go well. I want every move that I've rehearsed to go. I want every joke that I've prepared, you know, to land. I want people to feel like when they leave, they got their money's worth. So yeah, I do get nervous. It's not to the point where I you know, the nerves of like, I feel this is a different kind of nerves because we're learning new dances on Dancing with the Stars every week. Sometimes two. Right now we're preparing two individual competition dances for next week. And you only have 5 days really to learn all of that and perfect it and do the technique. So when we start this, it's like, I'm like, okay, I feel prepared, but am I prepared? Is my brain going to go into autopilot? Am I going to, you know, do it? Am I going to hit it? So, and it's live show. There is no cut. Let's do it again, baby. No, it is. You get one shot.
Did they bring you into the control room before the first episode, like all the stars, and say like show you the control room and like go over like, hey, whatever happens, don't stop dancing?
No.
They did that to us.
Did I miss?
No, no. Because I mean, maybe because it's Disney Plus, it's different. Like it's a different, I don't know. But like when they brought us into the control room, like before the first live episode, all the like celebrities and like showed us the control room so we could see like where everyone's coming from. And they're like, no matter what happens, we don't have time to ever go back because we're live. You just keep dancing. Like no matter what happens, you're not going to stop and restart. Just keep going. And you saw the like millions of cameras. And I'm like, I really wish you wouldn't have showed us that before.
Yeah. Well, maybe they've learned because we didn't.
Yeah. Maybe that's it.
That little tour experience. We did not.
Yeah. You don't want to see all those.
We did get the warning. Do not stop dancing.
So I was going somewhere with this. All right. So
where are we going?
I wanted the nerves thing, right?
Okay.
I'm trying to like understand Shangela better. All right. So more nervous to be performing on Dancing with the Stars or when you performed for Beyonce?
Ooh. Well, both of those were no take backs kind of events. Beyonce was more of an honoring, you know, I was nervous, but I really wasn't as nervous because I've been performing Beyonce for, you know, a decade. And this was a moment where I got to show Beyonce everything, how much gratitude I had for her and everything that she created that I was able to then be able to connect with people through performing her in so many different places. So this was more of that. People would come up to me right before the show and they're like, Beyonce came out. They just sat her in her seat at the table. She wants to see you perform. And I'm like, can you guys not tell me that, please? Like, don't tell me, please.
But I remember seeing the clips of that. She was so into it and so supportive, which has got to be just such a surreal moment. But the point is, you may have these nerves, because I remember when I used to perform in Vegas, like I always got really bad nerves too. But I'm telling you, we ain't never noticed it, not once for 1 second ever, that Shangela ever has a nerve in her body. Because every time I see you on anything, whether it's on stage at a club or on the biggest stages in the world on these shows, you are always so in control, or at least you look like it. So good job.
Well, when they hit the play button, there is no going back. So when the clicks are happening, my heart, there was one moment before the first episode of this season of Dancing with the Stars that I had Gleb. I called him over really fast. I was like, Gleb, please come here before we started, because they're running the little video package on the screens before. And he told me, don't look at the video because you'll get thrown. Just like zone out. And I called him over really fast. And he's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I took his hand. I put it on my heart. I'm like, should my heart be beating this fast? Am I going to pass out? And he was like, Shangie, baby, calm down.
Yes. Shangie, baby, calm down. I think Gleb's first season was my season. So it's been fun to watch him grow from, like, I think he started in Troop and then became a pro.
That's right. He has had.
And he's doing so well with you. You guys are, you light up the floor every night when you guys step on there. But you're just a star. Just like there's people that have the X factor that you can't explain. And you're one of those people where everything you do, whether it's Dancing with the Stars or Drag Race or anytime you perform, or even when you're just speaking or walk in a room, like you can feel that Shangela's in the room. Like I can feel your presence before that. I know you're there. There's very few people that I've ever met that I can say that about, honestly. And you're one of those people.
That's really kind of you. Thank you. I you know, I just show up authentically as who I am, and people, it's fun because I never have to really, I think there's a word, code switch or something like that.
Yeah.
Only because, you know, I've always been loud, fun, country Shangela from Paris, Texas, you know, and when people see me, whether it's, you know, at a Hollywood, you know, I've been to the SAG Awards and I see somebody I know, I'm like, oh, hey, girl, that's for Miss Angela Bassett. Let's put the hand to Miss Angela. And I will roll up on somebody. Just the other night at the show, you know, In Vogue was there, right? In Vogue. This is, so cool. You know, In Vogue, never going to get it. And so when they finished performing, now, mind you, this is a live show. When they finished performing, I was like, I need a picture with In Vogue.
Stop.
And I do. Absolutely. You know how it goes in Hollywood, honey. After you finish, the girls leave, they go take off their shoes, or you know, you get in the car, you're out. And I was like, I only have one shot. So I bolted. I just grabbed my phone, I bolted, and I could hear people on the walkies from as I was running. Does anyone have eyes on Shangela? She's supposed to be in the skybox. And I was running down the hallway, and I ran outside across where the trailer was for In Vogue. And I rolled up in there, and I know Kaya, their hairstylist, and I was like, Kaya, is In Vogue still in there? Do you mind if I get a picture with the ladies, please? And she was like, sure. And she looked at me like, shouldn't you be doing a show right now? And I was like, I just need the ladies, please. And I rolled in on them and they were so sweet. All three of them were so nice. We took a picture. We did a video of me doing the Jamie Foxx Wanda moment where he was like, aroo, aroo.
Yep.
Mm-hmm, I did that. Mm-hmm. I was like, do y'all mind if I get a video with y'all too? They were like, here she go asking for everything, but okay. And I was like, I'm sorry, y'all. I got to go back. We're doing a live show. I got to go. And I ran in my pumps. I was I got the picture.
You got the one. I had this a similar thing happen with me on my season. It's so funny you said that because it just triggered a memory. Jennifer Lopez was, you know, when you're up in the little sky booth thing,
yes,
you know, like up there, you know how there's that like black curtain and then behind it are like hair and makeup stations.
They've moved them to a breezeway now, but I know that space you're talking
so
about.
So when you go up to like the sky thing, like where you look down. So I think it was Pitbull night because didn't Jennifer Lopez date Pitbull?
No, they had a song together, baby.
They had a song together. That's what it was. They were friends. There was something about that. She was there and like no one knew she was there, but she was like in that little area hiding because she was just coming to like watch Pitbull or whatever. I mean, I don't know why she was there, but probably for that. And I wanted to take a picture with her and meet her so bad. And I was so nervous. And one of the producers was standing next to me. I was like, how do I go say hi to Jennifer Lopez? And she turned to me. She goes, well, she's at your show. So if there's any time for you that you can walk up to Jennifer Lopez and introduce yourself, I think it would be when she's at the show that you're on that she's watching. And I was like, good point. And so I was like, can I have a photo? She's like, yeah, of course. It was just one of those moments where like, oh yeah, that's right. She's here watching us. Normally we're there watching her. So it was a very funny moment.
Because those dance divas, I ran into Paula Abdul recently. And she was so kind and supportive and saying, yes. Like, oh my God, we're having a great time watching on Dancing with the Stars. I told her I had the rumba coming up. She was like, okay, that's the Latin dance of love. Mm-hmm. Got to move with it. I'm like, Paula Abdul is giving me tips for me to compete. Like, this is the craziest, amazing thing ever.
Yep. Ugh. You know what else? So good.
Yeah, speaking of amazing, so we live this very cool entertainment showbiz life, right? So right now, the project I'm working on, you being on Dancing with the Stars, we actually see each other in the same building a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that is so sweet and so moving, and I absolutely love seeing, you have so much family there supporting you. You have family there, it seems, all the time, having your back. Like, as a queer performer, to have the support of your family like that, like, what does that mean to you? Because it's such a beautiful thing when I see it. Like, I can see how much they love you. I can. It just like oozes out of them.
Yeah, I think you and I actually were on an elevator together when my mom was here. Mm-hmm. And like my mom, my little cousin came. And it's amazing. You know, it really feels special to have my mom and my family and so many great friends of mine supporting me in this moment. Because, you know, as queer people, sometimes we don't have the strongest relationships with our birth family. And I'm very fortunate that my mom and even my grandma and all my family back in Paris, Texas, they're supportive of me being a drag queen, being on the show. And it wasn't always like that, always with everyone. But it's been a journey, and they've been open to learning more. And now they have watch parties for Dancing with the Stars. And my mom sent me a video of my Aunt Sheila shouting. She said she caught the spirit when I was safe the other night. It's just wonderful to be able to have that. And, you know, I also feel that love from so many people in the world who are on social media or watching or voting and calling in this show on Dancing with the Stars and voting for me, because this is a voting show as well. Mm-hmm. And we all know in watching Shangela on Drag Race, sometimes voting doesn't always work out in my favor.
I was very thrilled.
And I know, you know, recently even, this just happened like literally a day and a half ago. I was online, you know, I usually look at my own social, I do my own social media stuff, all of my stuff. But I was on the Dancing with the Stars page and noticed that, you know, I don't always see all those comments if they don't tag me in them. And there's a lot of people who are so, you know, supportive. And then there were a number of people who are also like, ugh, or why is this in front of my kids? Or like, I won't watch this show. I don't support this kind of thing. And it, you know, you try not to let that those kind of things bother you and get in your head. But I'm also, you know, a person. And I'm like, if these people knew me, because I don't roll into any place like giving negativity to other people or trying to bring anyone down. I don't post negative stuff about people online. So to know that that was happening about me, I was like, wow, like that hurt my feelings. But at the same time, I couldn't stay in that headspace long. And, you know, even in doing the show, we're here. We touch base with people all the time who live in environments where they are not supported, where they are not lifted up or celebrated just because of who they are. And I'm like, well, you know, just because I work in television, that doesn't mean I'm immune to that kind of negativity either. So the same way I tell my drag kids across the world in America to say, like, shut that out of your brain. You can't focus on that kind of stuff. You got to do the job and at what's at hand and live your life. I had to tell myself that, but it was weird because I'm like, why am I having to remind myself this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough because sometimes those voices are so loud and you got to remember it's that quiet voice that probably really, really needs to see you doing what you're doing right now. That's too scared to speak. Cause I remember being that kid, right? Mm-hmm. Too scared to speak now. So like, just remember, like a lot of times it's for those quiet voices. I know my baby gets that too, especially with like the work that he does
in
the holiday movie space and all that, to have those people online that are not necessarily always the most supportive.
Yes, we do gay. Well, it's hard because there's people online that are not supportive of, you know, LGBTQ plus Christmas movies being made, stories that are like wholesome and filled with family and tradition and all these beautiful storylines. And, you know, every time I have a movie on like Hallmark come out where I play a gay character, you know, get ready because you're going to get slammed with Bible verses in your DMs and all the hate's going to come at you. But it's okay because it doesn't matter that people do that, because that's not who we do the movies for. We do the movies for the people that need to see them.
Right. Right. And thank you for saying that, because that also re-encourages me, I think, going forward into this week, that I'm in the right spot, in the right moment. Mm-hmm. And
you don't do it for the people that are going to hate, that are going to have a problem with it. You do it for the person that needs to see this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The little Shangela watching at home and who's 15 years old and like turns on the TV and goes, oh, I feel seen.
And you're getting to do something in a space where maybe that kid has not felt seen before.
Yes.
Because you are the first drag performer to go into this space. And that's what's very cool about, for me to get to talk to both of y'all right now about what y'all do. Y'all are doing activism in spaces where you don't necessarily get to do that type of activism just by being yourself right now. And that is amazing. And I applaud both of y'all for that, because you are saving somebody's life right now just by existing in that space.
Yeah.
So
and
thank
I have
Shangela.
No, thank you. And I have to really applaud, you know, people who are supportive of us in that. Mm-hmm. People who are voting, the people who are watching, the conversations that are being had. Hallmark, Disney Plus, Dancing with the Stars has been 31 seasons. And this is their very first male on male partnership. First time a drag queen has been on the ballroom floor. And you guys are exactly right. You're exactly right. This is so good to hear and have this conversation, I think, because we are doing this not, not even just for ourselves or for people who are the haters, but also for those little versions of ourselves who have never mm-hmm. seen themselves represented in this way, in this type of platform, that can sit there with grandma who
you got
may
it.
Not know nothing about drag queens,
yeah,
but may like her some Shangela, and that opens her mind
yes.
to be
yes.
more loving and accepting yes. to her own family.
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why we do it, because Shangela, what we're doing, you're the first drag performer, the first male on male partnership in Dancing with the Stars history this season, this Christmas season on Hallmark, first time ever, there is a male, two male gay led rom-com for Christmas, where it's not a B storyline, it's not a C storyline, it's two men fall in love and that's the movie, right? And at Christmas time, and it's hilarious and it's rom-com. But what we're doing is we're telling queer stories in spaces that normally aren't used to having queer these stories told, right? So it's one thing if you're like a Drag Race fan and you're watching, you know, Drag Race and all the, you know, we are here and we're watching these shows where we're used to seeing it. But what we're doing is we're stepping into spaces that are typically more conservative spaces and telling our queer story in those spaces. So what we're doing is a completely different avenue than some of the other story ways people are telling stories, but it's also a completely necessary avenue.
Yeah. Yes.
So just, I know you were having a blast and you were having fun. You were killing on that show. We want you to take that mirror ball home, and you are going to, but please know, just by doing what you're doing and being there, it is making such a difference. And I just think it's so dang cool. And we're so friggin' proud of you.
We are.
We really are.
Oh, I love
hey, I know you got, I know you're short on time because you got to get to them rehearsals.
Got
to
rehearse
choreography.
Don't make Gleb wait.
But I cannot let you leave without talking to you about this tour, because Shangela is going on tour. Please tell us all about it.
That is right. Yes, honey. You know, I haven't been on tour in a very long time, only because, you know, I've been working on television projects. We're here. We went right from filming the third season of We're Here into Dancing with the Stars. And so I'm excited. In January, I'm kicking off my Fully Lit tour. Ooh, baby, yes. Fully Lit, appropriate name, because it's going to be on fire. Indeed. So I'm partnering with Live Nation and doing this amazing tour. You can check out the tickets. They're on Shangela.com. And see what dates and what cities there are that I'm coming to. Hopefully coming to a city near you. I'm definitely going to be here in LA as well, so you guys have to come. But it's going to be full of performance and excitement and never before heard stories, even from our set and more. It's about an hour and a half long show that I'll be doing in different theaters around the US. So I look forward to seeing as many people as possible. The tickets are available now on Shangela.com.
You better get that plug in.
Yeah,
that was Shangela.com.
Go in again. What was it, Jonathan?
Just one more time. It was Shangela.com.
You gotta do it, baby. Yeah.
Shangela, we adore you. I'm such a Fangela of the Shangela. So mm-hmm. thank you for being here with us. Go learn them dance steps. Go take that mirror ball trophy home, and we will see you in the hallways.
But I have one question before you go, real quick.
Before you ask me that, let me jump in here and just say this. So this week, you know, Monday, November the 14th is the semifinals, and I'm doing the Paso Doble and the the Viennese, Waltz. Mm-hmm. So get ready, because it is going to be quite the production, both of them. We are so excited, Gleb. And if I can just shout out Gleb real quick too. I mean, Gleb has been amazing. You know, when I first came into this competition, I was like, okay, here comes the drag queen. I'm about to turn it out. But who is my partner going to be, baby? Who are they going to put me with? And just hoping that it was going to be someone that was going to be as excited and invested in this journey as I was. Because, you know, when I come, I want to rehearse as much as we can. I want to get it down. I want to show up. I'm in there with the wardrobe people who are brilliant. But I'm always like, whose feathers are those over there? Because I want to add feathers. Okay, that's a lot of rhinestones. But can I get double rhinestones? I need more. I'm a drag queen. I got to have extra. You know, I want to create a moment. So everyone, including Gleb and everyone on the DWTS teams, have all been so wonderful. This has made this experience like just amazing. So thank you all. Thank you all so much. That's what I want to say. Now, Jonathan, what you have for me?
This is Pridecast. And what we like to do is ask everyone, what does pride mean to you?
Great question. Pride to me means loving all the parts of who you are, and being able to share them unapologetically, unashamedly with the world. When you can look in the mirror and go, yes, ma'am, this is me. That's my hair. This is my body. This is my voice. This is my walk. And I love all the parts of that. And no matter what other people say about me that may that could be positive or negative, I am the person whose opinion matters of myself. And I love myself. I have pride in myself. That is what pride means to me.
Absolutely. That's beautiful.
So good. So good. Shangela, we adore you. Go to the, listen, go get to them rehearsals. We don't want to hold you up.
And a 5, 6, 7, 8.
We don't want to be the reason that you don't snatch the all 10s this week. So go on, get to that rehearsal. And thank you so much for joining us here on Pridecast.
I appreciate y'all. And when y'all hear my music blasting through the residence here in the building, just don't call the front desk on me, okay?
Never.
Never. We got
I'm practicing in the late night hour, baby.
Oh, we know. We hear it. All right, have a good one. Thanks for joining us.
Bye. Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thank y'all.
Check the back seat. Check the back seat.
All right, come here.
Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right? Good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the backseat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, babe, I love Shangela so much. She is just the best.
You know what I love about Shangela?
There's everything.
That energy about, I remember the first time she showed up on my screen, she has I feel like I know you to her.
And it's called the X Factor. I think that's what star power is. Said
yeah. I know. I think that's what, like, that's what X Factor is. But it's like, she showed up. I was like, I feel like I know you. I feel like, I feel like you've been in my life all along.
Yes, she's relatable. I literally just said she had the X Factor. But you know what?
Then that's what it is.
We don't have her on the show anymore because she has to go off and do Dancing with the Stars. But we got to do gay history and big gay spotlight. Let's go.
Okay, let's jump into our big gay spotlight first.
Each week, we like to shine our big gay spotlight on people in the LGBTQ plus community that are doing extraordinary things. Famous or not, they're amazing, beautiful individuals doing amazing, beautiful individual things. James, who are you shining your big gay spotlight on today?
Well, this week I'm shining my big gay spotlight on all the LGBTQ plus midterm 2022 candidates who had historic wins. Counting's still underway, but there's been a series of firsts for members of the LGBTQ plus community nationwide. Among the winners, Mara Healey becoming the first out lesbian governor in U.S. history. Jared Polis, reelected governor of Colorado, made history when he was elected Colorado's governor in 2018 as the first out gay man elected to governor of any state in the U.S. So many. James Rosener, first trans man elected to U.S. state legislature in New Hampshire. Robert Garcia, the first out gay immigrant to be elected to Congress. I mean, literally, you can look at the list and it's growing and the representation is growing and it's beautiful. It's amazing to see these places that are supposed to be, you know, making laws and things for us are starting to be more reflective of all of us slowly, but we're getting there. And that's a beautiful thing. So I'm shining my big gay spotlight on all of y'all.
I like that.
Baby, where'd you go?
Jordan Walsh asked me for a Mai Tai Manor logo.
Okay, baby.
That's our big gay spotlight.
I was doing big gay spotlight. I was still seeing my baby deep in his phone. What's going on over there?
Just creating meetings. All right, well, then what?
I got to, let's do some.
What's happening now?
Let's do some history, my love. Right, you got to set me up. You like the music, so you got to set me up.
I do. Play the music. This week in gay history, because before we move forward, we have to always remember where we came from. James, what happened this week in gay history?
All right, so back in 1985.
Oh my gosh, I wasn't even born then.
Yes, you were.
I'm so young. I wasn't even born in 1985. Oh, look how young and supple my face is.
NBC aired An Early Frost starring Aidan Quinn. Yes, I'm ignoring all that skit you just did. It was actually a story about a Chicago lawyer who goes home to tell his parents that he's gay and HIV positive. Now, this was 1985. This was the first time that a major film with major motion picture stars was broadcast on a major television network. That was on NBC, by the way, to deal with the topic of AIDS. 34 million households saw it. You got to think about 1985, like how crucial that was to humanize.
It was right in the middle of the pandemic.
And to share that. And it 14 Emmy nominations, Golden Globe nominations. Sylvia Sidney was nominated for Best Supporting Actress. So it was a big deal back then. And you look at now, like, thank God we've evolved to stories that now are past stories of you know, just painting queer characters in a sad light, or just painting queer characters as only coming out stories. Like, we're getting more and more evolved. But you got to remember, like, 1985, these were the first steps people were taking.
Yep.
And so we have to applaud those first steps, because they got us to where we are now. And we can keep making bigger and better steps and getting more and more content out there to help people feel seen.
Speaking of content, follow us on Instagram for some quality content.
What? Did you just plug our Instagram?
Yeah.
What is this, 2018?
All right. Thanks, Pridecast. See you guys later.
Thanks for joining us, y'all. Happy gay day.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.